are many classic Christmas verses in the Bible. I want to go to one of the most classic Christmas verses you could ever have, Proverbs 13:12. Where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Let's pray. Lord, we are on the side we're on of waiting for redemption that many hundreds of years, thousands of years, waited on that other side from us for the coming of Christ. We look back at it as having happened, and we rejoice in that event. But Lord, we do rejoice that you have brought about your plan and are doing so today. Help us to have it in our hearts in the proper way. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, Christmas is, growing up, our generation, I'll say, my generation, Christmas was the greatest time of year. I guess it still is. It was so great, they made a saying up. When something is expected, something you really want to come, something you just can't wait, we learned this early on, it's slow as Christmas. Something as slow as Christmas. Nobody ever says, kids, when we were in school, we got out for the summer. We never said, oh, this is slow as summer's ending. No, summer's end fast. Summer's getting there are slow. But something is so slow. As slow as Christmas, because Christmas is so anticipated. We used to put our tree up. We put it up early for back then. We put our tree up very early, 2 weeks before Christmas. I mean, today it's July 15th. Some people never take it down, but it was a couple of weeks before Christmas at most. Some people would do it a week before. We didn't get Christmas advertising until after Thanksgiving back then that I remember. We didn't get any of the shows on. You know, Rudolph didn't come on. It was December sometime. There was more of a Christian element in our Christmas of the older times. We remained secular, though. It's not like it was a great righteous time. It was still a secular nation with many myths and improper emphases for the season. I don't know where the drummer boy came from. You've got some manger scenes. Kevin was mentioning manger. You got some manger scenes, you got the drummer boy drumming on the manger, I guess. The omniscient one, back in our day too, was not Jesus, but Santa. Santa knew when you were naughty and knew when you were nice. And one thing you know, if you were a kid, you knew that Santa had no idea if you had been naughty or nice, because you ended up getting gifts anyway, whether you were nice or naughty. There was way more commercialism than spirituality, even then, more so today, I think. People said it was beginning to look a lot like Christmas because of the weather or because of decorations. It really wasn't about Jesus, but even less so today. But still, Christmas reigned as the supreme holiday, as it still does, I think. And we got some nice things at Christmas, things that would be valuable if we still had them. I've told you about my Johnny 7 OMA gun. Imagine getting guns for Christmas. I mean, it was a plastic gun, but it had a grenade launcher. Every young boy should have a grenade launcher. And I had one. And it was a machine gun, and it was great. You can look it up. It's probably worth a lot in the box. But those were wonderful times, and we still note those things. And it was because of those kinds of things that it became so slow. Never seemed to be going to get there. Because the things we desire most are slowest to appear. It's a psychological thing. But who doesn't want the best thing that is possible to come now? Who wants it to be later on? Does anybody who has a job say, I sure hope I get a raise in 10 years? I wouldn't want it before that. No, now is when we want that. So let me talk about two trees. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. Now we know in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden. Genesis 3:3 says that the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, that's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was in the middle of the garden. If you look at Genesis 2, verse 9, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing in the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the two trees noted there. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Each of those trees would produce what the tree is called, life or the knowledge of good and evil. They were forbidden from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what made it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you ate of it when you were told not to, you would introduced evil, and that's what happened. But they were actual trees. God had imbued in them some effects that would happen to people who ate of them. Life or the knowledge of good and evil. And we don't even know all the trees that were there. Just so many delightful things that Adam and Eve had to partake of. We often talk about trees in our backyard. The ones that's most desired is the money tree. And it's the money tree because you want the leaves to be money. So the wind blows and, you know, people may complain about leaves on the ground in the fall, but if you got a money tree, there's no complaint about that. Just rake them up, put them in a bag, take them to the bank. So the trees were fruits that were things we desired, except for the knowledge of good and evil. As we all know, our first parents chose for all mankind the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That choice then brought corruption and evil within us. We were robbed of life, and we were given death. And that's ongoing. People are still doing that today. Life is offered to people in the world today who do not have it. They live in a state of death. We were dead in trespasses and sins before we got saved. Means if we're not saved, we're still dead in trespasses and sins. People want that. They would rather have that than bow their knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that choice, which is ongoing, people still make. Here's life, choose life. People don't choose life. They choose themselves and death. So God, chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 24, God threw us out. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. We lost it. Paradise lost. Now that was before we had any inner corruption. Before we had a sin nature. There was no reason inside of us that would compel us to listen to the lies of the devil. But we did. And because of that, we were barred from the tree of life. Verse 22 of Genesis 3 gives us the danger. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. That's an interesting verse. That fallen man might take of that tree and eat the fruit, and the fruit of the tree produces perpetual, unending life. When man had been judged and told that if you eat of that tree, you will die. So I believe there's more to it than just on the surface a problem with extending the life of man and not fulfilling the death that was promised. I think there's probably more than that, that if you can't die, no one can die for you, and then you can't be saved. But I don't want to press that too far. But it just seemed like there's more to it there. But the Lord put up some guards and ensure that men would face death and not live forever. They would have to pay for their sin. And the tree of life was then forbidden to man. People are always complaining, why are things so bad? And why doesn't somebody do something about it? You've probably been somewhere in need of some help, and you looked up and Clint Eastwood did not show up. And he always does. John Wayne didn't come riding in. Who's going to fix these things? We always say, what is Congress going to do? Well, that's where we should turn, the bastion of righteousness, the Congress, to fix things. Why doesn't the school system do something? Why doesn't the local government do something? Why doesn't the news do something? Why does the church do something? Well, the church is the closest to doing something. Because the only thing that can be done is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It stops that stuff and curbs the evil in the world. And so people are complaining we don't have a tree of life, basically, because we were shut out from it. But we do find in Christ life. Now let's look at this verse, the natural desire for life and the hope of that, Proverbs 13:12. Now the tree of life in this verse is a figurative tree. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. If you got your raise from work that you'd hoped to get, and that hope deferred was now completed, you would not, along with the raise, bring home a tree. The tree of life is a symbol. It's a figure of speech. It means that you have gotten a fruit from life that is desirable, and it's like a fruit from a tree. We talk about, eating sweets, having a tree of sweets. What if you didn't have to make peanut butter balls? You just got them off the tree. Popcorn off the Cromer's tree. Pull the yellow bags out there and shake the tree and let them fall in. It's a figure of speech of something that is fruitful to us that we like. It's very hard to define life in this sense. If you look up life in the dictionary, it's basically existence or the difference between humans and animals. Life like this, a tree of life, or the tree of life, it's hard for the world to define what that is. In a smaller sense, life is an infusion of joy over a particular matter. If your team wins a game, you have joy. That's a small bit of life. Some unexpected pleasure, life. Things you like to do that you're able to do, life. In a larger sense, it goes way beyond that. The tree of life in the garden represented our full life in God's favor. In other words, every single thing the Lord wanted to pour upon us in his bounty, in his favor. And we don't even know how to define that. There are more things good for the Lord to give us than we know about. We don't even know the portion of it, it's a fraction of it. All the trees, and again, only a few are showcased. All the trees in the garden were good for something. There was no licorice tree in the garden. Because who loves licorice? Even the red kind, right? Only the delights of everything that we wanted on the tree. So, all those things in God's favor was life. But without God's favor, none of it was life. Because the garden still existed. When we fell, we lost life. We lost favor with God. But life, in this wider sense, more fuller sense, is joyful union with our God and all his bounty. Everything he wants to give us. God was inclined in the garden to give Adam and Eve life from the start. From that very day, the Lord did not have, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was not bad in itself. The entire garden was a delight. There was nothing bad in it. It even watered itself. The way it was then. It was a joy to work in that garden. The things you got from it. You could drink the water. It would not be just like plain water. It'd be just wonderful. And we can't even imagine. And every person desires the fullest, richest joy and fulfillment in their lives to the core. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing hindering the full infusion of the joy of the Lord. That everything is good. Can you imagine that? Everything is good. Do you have any worries? No, we're not supposed to worry. Well, you don't even have anything to worry about. Everything is good. Your body is good. All your delights of what you would eat is good. All that you see is good. All that you smell is good. All that you hear is good. The things you touch. That's what we all desire. Where nothing hinders the fullest expression of joy in us. Where we eventually live in eternal bliss and communion with our Creator. Where all our purposes, all our purpose for being created is fulfilled to the glory of God. And no maladies exist. You got maladies? Everybody has maladies. And no more of those. There's a great gospel song. On that resurrection morning when the redeemed in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. You know it, David. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Ready to live in paradise. You got to listen to that song. That's exuberant joy from transferring from this side to that side, to having life in place of death and the mixture we have even when we're saved. Life is represented here in this verse by the word hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope is like we hope for things which consist of what we make us happy and be part of our lives. Hope is the expectation of that good thing we long to have. The word means longing and desire. What's our desire? It's our hope. What do we hope happens to fill up our lives the best? That's hope. We have hope in little things. We hope in big things. A lot of us are hoping for white Christmas. We're going to be able to survive if we don't get one, because we've had to survive. All the time I was in Minnesota, we never didn't have a white Christmas. It was always there. So maybe we're the problem. We're not moving farther north. The little things we hope for, but hope is that realm in which we're not in possession of what we hope for. We're still hoping for it. It hasn't come. Bible says faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Why is that? Well, faith will become sight, and we won't need faith anymore. When we're with the Lord, we will not have faith anymore, because we'll just see the Lord. Hope will be fulfilled. So once you get what you've hoped for, you don't hope for it anymore, you have it. Love remains as a loving relationship we have with the Lord and with one another in heaven. But there's a natural disappointment mentioned here. Hope deferred. Hope deferred means hope delayed. It's been put off. And so it's a natural disappointment. It's not necessarily a crushing disappointment. The hope is still there, but there's a disappointment. When we went to India in 1987, I sat next to Doc. So when we took off, I guess it was, we took off so many times. We took off from one place, he said, "Praise the Lord, we're either going to be in India or heaven." Which meant the plane's going to crash or it's going to land. So either way, Doc was upbeat about that. And this was hope not yet realized until we actually got where we were going. So the thing longed for when it actually arrives is what we're after. But it says here that your heart is sick. This is a warning, but it's not the primary focus of the verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's just an observation. Ah. You know, you turn the TV on, you're hoping Star Trek's on, and Star Trek is not on this week, and you just, well, then you just do something else. It's not a killer. It's a disappointment. We see that in all kinds of things. It's not a justification to be self-centered and to mope and to be depressed. It's just an observation. It's a danger, really. That some people, they get disappointed about a little bitty thing and their whole lives are turned over. You got to have answers outside of receiving the hope. You have to be able to live without receiving your hope. Hope deferred doesn't mean you're crushed. Doesn't give you an excuse to check out of life. It's not a sanction for perpetual depression. It's just a statement of fact. We would like to see the things we long for come. The hope is still alive. We're still to sink our hope in the hope to come. We're still to be encouraged by it. But this verse is about the second part primarily. While feeling for those who do not have it yet, the hope, verse 12 says, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Some things take a long time. Christmas takes a long time, especially for kids to come around. Then the time comes when they can burst in there and get the stuff around the tree, and for a little while at least, they've got the tree of life blooming very much. When the thing that finally comes, your heart is no longer missing that ingredient that it's been longing for. And so the point of this verse is to say that it's coming. When the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, while you're waiting, you're still strong if you're thinking about the Lord. But when that that comes. Well, I'm applying this morning, of course, to the waiting on Jesus Christ that's taken place in history. And what is our place in this timeline? There are two significant waiting areas in mankind. Someone says, I know what you mean. I know what those two were: getting my license and getting out of school. Well, I'm with you on that. I understand those are big things. But the two waiting eras that we've had in history is waiting for the Messiah, the first coming of Christ in the manger. And the second is what we're doing, waiting for the second coming of Christ. Those are the two events. If you look at Luke, the proclamations made around the birth of Christ, as made around about John the Baptist too, was that this was something that we've been waiting for, and now it has come. Luke 1, verse 67, Zacharias, John's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father." You see, he's mentioning things way back in pointing out that John will be the light to the Messiah. So they've waited for that. Anna, Luke chapter 2, verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. See, that's when the desire comes. It's a tree of life. And they waited and waited and waited. We don't have to do that part. That part was done before us. We came around after that. We've looked back at the birth of Christ. Christmas is remembering the birth of Christ. Before that, they didn't have that. They were looking still. That was the first one. We're looking for the second one. Philippians 3:20 says, "We eagerly wait for a Savior from heaven, Jesus, to come." It's a core of the nature of a Christian. It's waiting for Jesus to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this reason, also since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled." Oh, that's Colossians, sorry. That's a good verse too. It's close to this. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and," notice this, "to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." We're on the way down to the dinner on Friday. Cindy says, "What is that?" Over off to the left. And we still don't know what it was. But it was a line of lighting over there. It's kind of weird. I said, "Is there a disc like spinning at the front of it?" And I was thinking, well, that'd be kind of like the Lord to come from that in that way. Here we are going to a dinner party. Pork chops are already made. Chicken's already made. And wouldn't it be like the Lord just to come and interrupt all that and come before that? It could happen. See, that's what we're waiting for. And so having received the first and then receiving life in Christ, the nature of a Christian is to wait for Jesus to come again, to wait for his Son from heaven. And the Lord is waiting until such time that all that he will save will be saved. The Lord seeks and saves the lost. The world lives in doom. The world lives in constant fear and dread. If you'll notice, the world is always amping some fear up. COVID is a bad thing, but they amped it. Oh, it's all the way up to amped up to Venus by now. The world of nature. It's a wonder people who buy into all the climate change hoopla can even walk outside without thinking the earth's going to open up. It's just constant fear, constant doom. The Lord is seeking to save and give the tree of life to those he finds. Stores have lost and found. Two things have happened. Somebody's lost something, somebody's found something, and turned into lost and found. So to redeem something lost and found, you have to go there and say, I lost this. Has it been found? Well, we became lost in the garden. We lost the tree of life. We were shut up out from it. But notice what happened after that. The Lord came, and he himself is the tree of life. We were shut out of it. We could not partake of it. The angels guarded the entrance to there. We were out on our own. We were vagabonds at that point. What does the Lord do but bring the tree of life to us? The Lord has joy in the presence of the angels of God when a sinner repents. And the Lord targets his elect for his mercy, and he finds them and gives the free gift of eternal life. So I mentioned two things we're waiting for, one being the coming of Christ, the first time, the other being the coming of Christ, the second time. But really, there's only one thing we want. Revelation 2:7. This, the church of Ephesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You're not talking about Garden of Eden. You overcome as a believer, shows you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. You will receive, be able to eat from, the tree of life. That tree of life encompasses every joy, all fulfillment, every bit of peace and happiness that could possibly be had. And it's living right there in your yard. You can partake of it. It means you can get the fullness of salvation in Christ. Revelation 22, verse 1, tells us that this tree of life exists in the city of God. There he showed me a river. Then he showed me a river, the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. See, there's water of life too. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That is the tree of life. Restored. What we lost. The world has that offered to them as well. Only believers have it. All who would believe, truly. But what the world is hoping for is that death works out somehow. Somehow that the way they're doing, the things they believe, what they seek. You don't see them turning away from it. You see them hoping it's going to work out. We'll make things better. We'll do better with death. Let's make death better. That's a good motto for the world. Making death better. But we have the tree of life. We've sung that song recently, How Long, O Lord, How Long. That's a song of hope deferred, looking for the Lord to fulfill all the joy in life that he will bring with him. And when you're waiting, you're not creating. You're waiting for something that's already been created. It's just a matter of time. And one day, every inspiration song will be fulfilled. All those songs inspiration sing that I like to hear. And this one I just mentioned earlier by J.D. Sumner in the Stamps. I'll have a new body and all that stuff. All that will be fulfilled then. And unlike Christmas presents, might be under your tree right now, they're under there, but you can't use them until you unwrap them. This gift from God is not yet fully unwrapped, but we can still use it. We can rejoice in the life. God has already given us in Jesus Christ, if we know him, eternal life, quality and endurance. And we can open that before it's time to open it fully. We would say it's slow, but it's certain. The tree of life. Let's pray. Lord, the more we hear of life and the life we have as a foretaste of glory divine, as a down payment and earnest of our inheritance, we desire, Lord, that we might have fullness of life. What joy we have even in this world when we can use the gift of life and enjoy it before the full manifestation. We hope in this time, Lord, that the tree of life is our focus, restored to your people by your grace. In Jesus' name.